This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Tessie. Episode dropping at a time we don't usually drop them, but that usually means something happened and something did happen. This is episode 156 of Play Tessie, the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Before we get going, talk about the news, hit the subscribe button. Wherever you're getting your podcast, subscribe. Apple, Spotify, Odyssey app, subscribe, rate 5 stars. We really appreciate it when you guys do that. You get the notifications and find us on YouTube on the WEI channel. Got the Play Tessie playlist there. You find all of our episodes. Hit the thumbs up on the videos. And as always, find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. So it's Gordo here with Sammy. Two of us today reacting quick to the breaking news today. That is the Red Sox signed one. No, I'm just kidding. They signed Aroldis Chapman. So, yeah, flame-throwing lefty with, I mean, there's so much meat on the bone with a signing like this. Obviously, we've been watching Aroldis Chapman pitch against the Red Sox for years, and you see the velocity. The guy is an absolute horse on the mound. He throws gas even now, approaching his age 37 season. But obviously, a signing like this doesn't come without its, I would say, question marks is maybe a way to put it lightly. There's been a lot of stuff in Chapman's past that we're gonna get into in this episode, definitely. But I think it's probably best served for the listener to sort of subset it, and we'll talk about the player first, and we'll get into that stuff next. But here with Sammy. Sammy, man, big breaking news of the day. Quick instant reaction. First, give your instant reaction take, and then we'll dive into the player.
Instant reaction, don't like the person, but he's a good pitcher.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. And we'll just dive in right away. And go into what the Red Sox needed. And the Red Sox had a need for velocity. They had a need for at least one, if not more, high leverage back end of the bullpen arms. They had needed one of those arms to be a lefty and ideally have that closing experience and certainly strikeout ability. This is something that a high-ranking member of the Red Sox told me right before the offseason was a definite need for the team. So it was definitely an expectation on my end that they were going to be going after something like this. I don't think it was really any secret. I don't think they kept that a secret. Like the assumption among the fan base was that they were going to go after Tanner Scott. But it's Aroldis Chapman on a 1 year, $10.75 million deal with incentives that can get it to $11 million. Chris Cattell was the first to report it close. Not sure who reported it done first. It might have been Mike Deportes. It might have been Passan. I don't know. But yeah, if it, just in terms of the player alone, you've got a guy here that at times last year still touched 105. Like, I know he's not the same. Like, he's not the guy posting like 1.2 ERAs like he was early on in his Yankee career. But this is a guy who still has he averaged 99 miles an hour on the fastball, which is in the 98th percentile. And you mix that with his 98th percentile extension, it's ridiculous. 165 batting average against is in the 99th percentile. 37.1 strikeout percentage in the 99th percentile. And this is all in his age 36 season. The downside, of course, is he's very prone to the walk. 14.4 walk percentage is in the first percentile. The Sox clearly targeted stuff here, but yeah, with the walks, he is prone to the blow up outing, and we've seen a number of those over the years. Like whether it be, and it's not always due to the walks. Like we've seen him. I remember a game in 18 where the Sox were down 4 in the ninth inning, and Chapman imploded. But you saw it against Devers in 17, against Altuve in 2019, let up a go-ahead homer in a winner-take-all game in 2020 to Mike Brasso. He gave up the game-tying homer in Game 7 of the World Series to Rajay Davis. Like, he's been on the butt of a lot of jokes.
Wow, that's
he's given up.
What a... Jeez. Yeah, he can find various ways to blow games. Ideally, in this situation in 2025, he's not the closer. That said, like you just mentioned, he fits a need. The strikeout stuff is something we were both told about. And, you know, it's not a huge move by any means, but it definitely makes the team better. It's just so hard to talk baseball only when it comes to Aroldis Chapman. We'll get into everything, but for me, it's more like, why him? Because he wasn't the best option on the market. I believe he had the highest walk percentage in Major League Baseball last year, which,
yep.
Breaking news, that's not good. You don't want to be walking guys at the highest rate of anybody in the sport. So yeah, I'm just kind of, from a baseball perspective, like give Breslo a C on this. It's better than nothing.
It's weird to grade it, because if you look at it from a baseball perspective, Sammy, it literally fits every single need they had. Like, literally only looking at it from the baseball perspective, like you can't, like there's nothing. I get that he walks guys, but
yeah,
they to clearly the were targeting degree, stuff.
This is like if you just took if Chapman was just a random player, this would be like the absolute lowest we would want in terms of the swing and miss lefty. Like, the ceiling, I don't think there's much of a ceiling because he's 37 years old. I don't think he's going to get any better. The floor is very low, like you just spoke about. He's prone to blowups, whether that's getting torched by the opposing team or walking the opposing team. So, yeah, I'm not thrilled about it. That said, like in the intro, the Red Sox did technically get a little bit better.
What do you think? What do you think for his role? Because the way I see it, like, I know we all think of him as the guy closing out games for the Yankees. I don't think he should. Like, I would still, I said going into the offseason, I think Justin Slayton's my closer. I stand by that today. I think they need the lefty to go after situations like you just think back to that Freddie Freeman at bat in the middle of the season, bases loaded, and they went to Bernardino. And, like, obviously, Bernie had a good season, especially in the first half, but you want a guy who can pump gas and get a strikeout in that spot. Not only do the Red Sox not have that kind of guy from the left arm side, they didn't have a single 100-mile-an-hour pitch in the majors last year.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think he's going to take on the Bernardino role, kind of a leverage lefty, but not the closer, if that makes right. sense. So 6, 7, 8, ninth inning, if you're in a jam, and the guy, like, let's say, not Juan Soto, because he's going to be on the Red Sox, but course, a big yeah. lefty, let's say Corey Seager comes up, then you're going to go, whether it's the 6th, 7th, 8th inning, you're going to go to a guy like Chapman. So that's what I think his role is going to be. I don't think he's going to close. I agree with you. I think Slayton makes sense as closer. I'd also be cool with putting Whitlock back in that role like he was doing in the second half of 2021. They've got options there. Hendricks as well. We haven't seen him for a while, but still an option. So Mm-hmm. I think Chapman is not going to be considered for closer, but he is going to be in a high leverage role.
Yeah, and maybe like I wouldn't rule out them going into the season, and I know you hate this, Sammy. You've talked about how you hate this before, but maybe not committing to a single guy, and like if there's lefties due up in the ninth, like that's Chapman's ninth. And if there's lefties due up in the eighth, he'll take the eighth and Slayton takes the ninth. But I mean, they've got like even though they don't have a guy who is a sure bet closer in the year 2025 on this team, it's like it's weird because they've got multiple guys who I could see taking over the role. And it's weird to think about over the years, like now you add Chapman to Liam Hendricks. Like obviously Chapman's, I believe, a seven-time All-Star. Liam Hendricks, former All-Star, replacing Kenley Jansen, who's an All-Star and potential future Hall of Famer. Kenley came in after, obviously, Matt Barnes, who I guess was an All-Star, but yep. Barnes replaces Kimbrell, multi-time All-Star, potential future Hall of Famer. Replacing Koji, former All-Star, replaces Papelbon, All-Star, and should have gotten more Hall of Fame consideration. It's just interesting to think about over the years how many of these like All-Star caliber names the Red Sox have had coming out of the bullpen. And going into next year with Liam Hendricks as like the only guy with that pedigree, but obviously coming off everything he's gone through, it was definitely important for the Red Sox to add some experience to the back of the bullpen. And so as a player, I do think it makes sense. But yeah, unless you have anything to add here, we can.
Honestly, say whatever you want about Chapman. I don't like him as a person. I think based on Twitter alone, the vast majority of Red Sox fans aren't thrilled with the person the Red Sox are adding. Even despite not knowing him personally, just what we know, people aren't thrilled. But the fit makes sense fit-wise. There's no denying that whatsoever. He strikes guys out. He's left-handed, high-leverage reliever. Check, check, check. There it is. I mean, there's not much more to say about it than that from a baseball perspective, honestly. And I think the general back end of the bullpen situation, it's something we've kind of sort of never dealt with. I guess you could compare it to 2013, but in 2013, the plan was to have Joel Hanrahan be the closer.
Yeah.
You also had Andrew Bailey, the current pitching coach. And then they went to Tozawa, I believe, third, and then it was Koji, fourth. So I guess 2013 would be the closest situation you could compare this 2025 developing situation in the
bullpen. It's similar because you just named it the two guys at the forefront, and Hanrahan and Bailey are both, I believe, all-star closers that they had on the team. Sometimes when you don't have that sure bet guy, you got to have a couple of options there that you think you can trust, and sometimes it's not the guy. Like maybe they go through a couple guys and then the guy emerges. Like we'll see, like a guy like Luis Guerrero, who I don't think is going to be their first, second, third, or fourth option to close games, but you really never know.
Yeah, Gordo Hanrahan was coming off back-to-back All-Star seasons when he came to the Red Sox from the Pirates. And the season prior to signing in Boston, he had 36 saves, and the season before that, he had 40. So, yeah, and then same with Andrew Bailey. Andrew Bailey had closing experience with the A's before he came to the Red Sox. So, yeah, I guess maybe 2013 is closer than I had initially given it credit for. It's just, I think Chapman, and it's mostly Hendricks that makes it different, just because his situation is so different. But yeah, I guess it's fairly comparable. They got options.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And like, obviously, we don't know if they're done. We'll get into where you go from here after. But I do think we got to get into the elephant in the room, which is obviously everything that Aroldis Chapman has done / been through off the field. Suspended in 2016, 30 games. He violated the league's domestic violence policy. He was accused of pushing his girlfriend, putting his hands around her neck, choking her, and firing multiple gunshots during an incident at his home in Florida the previous October. No charges were filed, but basically the way this went down at the time was people like didn't know that incident happened in October, and the Reds were trying to trade him that offseason. And Zach Scott actually came out today and said that the Red Sox had a deal in place. They were going to trade Manny Margot and Marco Hernandez for Chapman back in that year. And then the Red Sox, like independently of the Reds, like the Red Sox found out about the domestic violence issue there and told the Reds, took the deal off the table. They go instead and get Craig Kimbrell, and the Yankees get Chapman, and he's suspended for those first 30 games with the Yankees. So this was back, 2016. So
15. Yeah.
Yes. So basically 9 years ago, and you know, to be I guess, fair and transparent. It hasn't had any known domestic violence issues since, but you know, in a lot of people's minds, and understandably so, it's going to be like a one offense and you're done forever in their heads. And I think that's the way a lot of Red Sox fans are going to take this. If that's how you take this, I think you're justified in that. There was also that other issue with how his Yankee career ended. This is in the 2022 season. At the end of the season, Chapman was home in Miami and the Yankees were going to have a mandatory workout. And he basically said, I'm only coming for this mandatory workout if you can promise me that I'm going to be on the postseason roster. They hadn't made up their mind yet, and they weren't going to tell him you're guaranteed on it. And so he didn't go, and so they basically told him to fuck off, and that was his Yankee career, and he never pitched for them again. Those are the two main incidents. There was also that video with him and his mom that I don't really want to get into that because that's just weird.
Yeah.
But yeah. Those two things.
Hey, you never know. Some people might like that video. That's not me.
It's a weird ass video.
Hey man, there's weirdos out there. Yeah. Gordo, I think here's how I'm looking at the whole off field stuff with Chapman. And I'm not talking about his quitting on the Yankees or whatever that weird shit was. On one hand, I think he has every right to work. He served his punishment. He hasn't done anything since then. Totally fine. He's allowed to work. Secondly, these two schools of thought can exist at the same time. I still don't like the guy based on what he did. And as a Red Sox fan, I'd prefer he not play for the team that I root for. So, you know, I hope he pitches well for the Red Sox, but I'm not going to be thrilled seeing him out there on the mound, regardless of the result.
Yeah. And I really think that there are so many different approaches that fans can take to having a guy that you don't like on the team for whatever reason, whether it be something like as serious as this, or whether it be a guy who like didn't sign your baseball that one time. Like, there's going to be guys that come through that you don't like on the team. And I think however you want to handle it's justified. Like for me, I'm going to root for the outcome. I'm going to root for the Red Sox to win. Like, he's going to go out there and he's going to pitch in important situations, and I'm not going to be sitting there rooting for him to blow those games. Mm-hmm. But that said, I respect the people that can't get past this because it is such a serious allegation. And, you know, obviously it's been some time and hopefully he's learned his lesson and is better off for it. But I mean, we don't know the guy. We've never met the guy. I don't know anyone who knows the guy. So we really don't know. But, you know, I don't want people to think that they have to approach this in a certain way. Like, if you don't like the guy, you don't have to like the guy because he's on the team. That said, you also don't have to not like the guy if you want to root for every single one of the guys on your team. Like, you're justified in doing that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not going to tell you how to root. Yeah. Not going to tell you how to fan, how to be a fan. Do whatever you want. I'm personally, what I said, I hope Chapman pitches well. I'm just going to be referring to him as Red Sox pitcher. And I hope it's a
Red
one-year
Sox
deal.
Lefty.
And then we never have to hear from him again. He can go play in South Korea or something.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. It is weird. Yeah.
Gordo, by the way, real quick, we got to touch on this. Chapman at Fenway, 18 games, 5.71 ERA with a WHIP close to 2. So that's bad.
Yeah. And it reminds you because it feels like every time I've seen him pitch in person, like I was at that game. Actually, he may not even – did he pitch in the Brooks Kreisky game? Did he stink that game up? I think he might have.
It's hard to remember because all I remember
– is Brooks Kreisky.
This was like the one time in my life I've been watching a game against the Yankees where I kind of actually felt bad for them. I was like, oh, yeah. Man, this poor kid. He's that kid, Kreisky, was just having a meltdown. The Fenway crowd was getting to him. Ooh. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't remember anything before that in that game.
But with Chapman and – you bring up the stats. I wasn't active on Twitter until like 2021. So most of the Chapman Red Sox history took place before that. But I can confidently say that there is no player, I think, in the history of my baseball watching experience that I have shat on more than Aroldis Chapman. And it is it's so weird. It can't be close, right?
He's the perfect villain, man. He's the perfect villain. He's unlikable as a person. He played for the Yankees, and he would blow it in the worst worst possible time for the Yankees. It was perfect for Red Sox fans. And now we have to see him sitting in his gym in a Red Sox hat. And it's so, it just feels dirty.
That's so weird. That picture was weird.
Dude, like the baseball side of it and the human side of it, all of it just feels. When I think of it,
we got to make the Chapman gym picture. That's got to be the cover, the album, the podcast cover for this.
Oh God!
Sitting with his like big dog, and he's got like boxing shoes on. Like he's like, I just got this hat.
He sucks at boxing. I've seen his boxing videos. He is garbage. Like, I don't know how you could be a professional athlete and then not be coordinate.
Could you take him, Sammy? Could you take him?
Hell no. He's like 6'4", 250. I can't take
that giant.
He were 5'10", I'd smoke him though.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. So let's go into a little bit of where you go from here if you're the Red Sox. They now have signed two lefty relievers. Justin Wilson is on a major league contract, so as of right now, it looks like he's going to be on that opening day roster. Obviously, they don't have to do anything they don't want to do. They can DFA any of these guys at any time. But going forward from here, Sammy, do you think they need to add another back end kind of reliever? If they move forward and added to the rotation and to the lineup and kind of just left the bullpen as it was here, is that okay? Like, what do you think they need to do going forward, at least as it pertains to the bullpen?
Yeah, I think they need another arm, another solid arm. It doesn't need to be Tanner Scott or Carlos Estevez, but I would like for them to beef up the bullpen a little bit. In the way of lefties, if you're looking at it objectively, you have Chapman, who we just spoke about, and then you have Bernardino and Boozer, and I guess you could add Penrod. I know Zach Penrod is talking about becoming a starter, but let's lump him in there. And eventually you'll have Chris Murphy. So lefty-wise, not a ton of high-leverage experience outside of Chapman. I don't love that. And then the closer situation, you mentioned it earlier. I would like for them to set a closer. And if it's not one of the guys already in-house, I would like for them to go out and get someone else. I don't think it ever makes sense to go into a season without a closer. I can't think of a team that has intentionally done that and succeeded. I think the closest would be the 2023 Rangers. But even they had Jose Leclerc, who not a great closer, but he was still slotted in there for most of the season as the closer, and they had to pivot.
They had Chapman.
They had Chapman. That was the Cole Reagans trade.
Okay, that's the other end of this, is if the Red Sox stink it up this year, they can trade him halfway through the year, and the last team that traded him halfway through the year got Cole Reagans out of it. So, but yeah, worth noting though, Justin Wilson technically has the back end experience, but like that's a long ways ago. He hasn't been that in a long time.
Yeah, he also had.
Like, I see. Yeah, I
mean, not coming off the saying, best season ever.
Yeah, no, and I actually think they could use a little bit. Maybe like it really depends on how all in they want to be here. Because if you'd asked me at the beginning of the offseason, I would have said add one back end reliever, make it a lefty, and like they're okay. But if they want to be all in, like they seem to say they're trying to do, like yeah, I mean they could use another experienced back end caliber righty. Like if they wanted to give a nice one or two year deal to like a Kirby Yates, if they wanted to go a little bit bigger on Jeff Hoffman, I know they've been connected with him. Like there are guys out there. I'm not that big on Estevez.
Yeah, me neither. Not enough Ks for a closer. He makes me worry. I think so. I don't think they need another reliever, but I would strongly like if they added at least one more guy with experience. I'd prefer a veteran, a guy, even if it's an older guy. I just think that's important.
Maybe David Robertson. I don't know.
Like, yeah, I was about to say Robertson makes sense. He could do that closer setup, man, flip-flop kind of role.
It really depends on how all in they want to be, because you look at the Chapman thing and there's kind of two ways to look at it money-wise, because everyone kind of had them pegged for they're going to get Tanner Scott. They're going to go after Tanner Scott. And Tanner Scott was probably slated to get 17 or 18 million for 4 years, probably around 70 million total. I know the projections, some people had him down at 50. I'll be shocked if it's that low. I really do think he's heading into the mid 60s or better on this next contract.
If you're talking all in, Gordo, is it possible that they still sign Tanner Scott and just give him like a back end role? Because it's not out of the realm that if you're saying that they go all in, they could basically have Tanner Scott off the radar. They could have Chapman and Scott in that role.
They could do it. The reason that I'm a little bit cooler on it now though is they now have a back end caliber lefty. So if they really wanted to be all in, the all-in move would be to get the Kirby Yates, who's coming off an amazing season as a closer. But I mean, they could do anything. Like Aroldis Chapman has good splits against both lefties and righties. Tanner Scott also pitches well against both lefties and righties. So if you wanted to go that route and have both those guys be lefties that can get both sides of the plate out, and then obviously you're willing to trust Slayton, Hendricks, Whitlock in that back end kind of role facing anybody too. Like, yeah, that's a pretty damn good bullpen.
Yeah, solid. It's just the
you wouldn't have the lock-in and closer. You wouldn't have the prime Craig Kimbrel.
Yeah, I keep thinking like, oh, it's the lack of experience, because when I think of closer, I'm thinking Whitlock or Slayton, but then you have two guys who are extremely experienced as closer in Chapman and Hendricks, but we're both in agreement, probably not the move to make the closer right off the rip. So I don't know. It's not a bad bullpen. It's just a kind of a weird construction right now. And there's probably going to be more moves happening, whether it's addition or subtraction with this bullpen. So who knows? Who knows, Gordo? Long way to go.
I would build it around Slayton as the closer, and then you've got him locked in for, he's got 5 years left on his deal. That's what I would want him to do. There's a million with the bullpen. There's so many ways to go about it, but I want to get back to the money thing though, because they could have signed Tanner Scott for close to double the AAV. They didn't do it. There's two schools of thought. There are some people that are going to look at that and say, hey, they're saying they're going all in, but actually look at them cheaping out on the lefty reliever. They could have gotten the elite guy and they took a step down and got Chapman, because it pretty much went Tanner Scott is significantly above everyone else. And then there was Chapman and AJ Minter as kind of that next tier. That was kind of it for the lefties.
No, you can't. I don't think people can use that argument. You can't say the Red Sox are going cheap. They just gave $11 million to Aroldis Chapman in the year 2024. Heading into the year 2025. That's not cheap. I saw a lot of people being like, what? You're going to pay this much? Like, that's the price, man. Again, everyone is shocked at the price of pitchers every single year without fail. They go up every year. Eventually, we got to stop being surprised by this.
Yeah. And not the other thing, though, I'll add to that, though, is if they're prepared to go over the tax, and I don't know if they're going to, but it seems like they're prepared to, if they're saving 8 or 7 or 8 million in this year, in 2025, downgrading from Tanner Scott to Aroldis Chapman, I don't think it's that money's not going to get spent. Yeah, it's that it's going to get spent elsewhere. And so what could that point to? Maybe it's to Juan Soto. Maybe it's to, instead of just getting one ace starting pitcher, maybe they want either two aces, or maybe they want to get an ace and pay a Willy Adames. I don't know, but I don't see this as them cheaping out. I just see it as them, they have a certain amount of resources that they have available to them in 2025. And if we save a little bit on the bullpen by getting a guy who stuff-wise they probably think is almost as good as Tanner Scott, then you save that and you allocate it elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree. I just there's no world in which you could use the Red Sox are cheap argument for this. It's a lot of money to give to a non-closer reliever who might be your closer. By the way, average fastball velocity for Chapman last year, just a tick below 99 miles an hour. He touches 100 all the time. So it's going to be exciting to see. Red Sox have not had... When was the last time, other than Caleb Ort, the Red Sox had a guy who consistently touched 100?
Man.
It might be Sale, when he was like fully healthy, Chris Sale.
What about
Joe is saying Kimbrel?
Yeah, I was about to say Kimbrel
touch 100.
He could. I think he touched 100, but it wasn't It wasn't like Chapman. I honestly, the only guy I remember dipping into 100 all the time, and I was just in awe of it, was Daniel Bard. I remember he would do it, but there's obviously been guys on the team that have done it since. I don't know. It's an interesting one. We'll have to look that up. But yeah, velocity. I was going to say, especially out of the bullpen, but to be honest with you, velocity in general with this team has been lacking for years. So it'll be interesting. You know, you'll have a serious change of pace going from whoever to Chapman, who, can still hit 105. It's just, it's weird that you look at videos of him hitting 105, but then it's like, because like any other guy, we'd be like, oh my God, like 105, let's go.
Yeah.
But obviously we've gone over everything that comes with this. So...
Dude, his Savant page, if you're listening and you're into Baseball Savant, Chapman's got one of the strangest ones I've ever seen. He's first percentile walk percentage, which we spoke about, 99th percentile strikeout percentage. I can't think of a more uncomfortable pitcher to face in the world than this guy, because he's throwing so hard and he's got almost no clue where it's going.
Yeah, it's going to be an experience. I think that we're going to see we're going to see dominance and we're going to see vomit. Like, it's going to be both. You're going to get both. That's the way the Yankees dealt with it for years. And we won't see it maybe as much in the ninth inning, but we're going to see it.
Dominant vomiting.
Yes.
Gross.
Do you think we'll see an Aroldis Chapman jersey at Fenway this year? They won't sell them in the team store because they don't sell anyone in the team store.
Yeah, there's going to be some dude wearing it, and then he's going to be like talking to his friend and be like, dude, I can't believe I haven't found a girlfriend yet. Yeah. And they're going to be like, yeah, man, I got no clue why you haven't. Nice jersey.
Sammy, you're the numbers guy. He's normally a 54 jersey, right? But 54 is Giolito's.
Yeah. Oh. Trust me. I've thought about it. You obviously can't flip it because 45's retired. And I don't think Chapman's ever worn a number other than 54, right? I'm going to check right now.
Do we have a 55?
No, he's only done what I just said. He's only reversed it and run 45. 55, no, Chris Martin's gone. So
I still would like to bring Chris Martin back. Hopefully that happens. But the longer the offseason goes, the more I think that's probably not happening.
Yeah, he wants to be close to home, right? Texas?
Yeah, that's been tossed around from the Mass Live guys a fair amount that he
probably
wants.
You know what would make sense in this scenario? Okay, hear me out. And I'm sure we'll do a who says no about this guy. Camilo Doval. He would fit so perfectly into this right now. He is coming off of a bad season, but has had multiple seasons of being a successful closer. That's another guy. And Andrew Bailey familiarity from the days in San Francisco. That's the kind of guy, he makes so much sense now, because you have these veterans in the mix. You have young guys who might be the closer. And then you add a young guy who has been a closer. Kind of a nice mishmash of potential there. But I like it. I like the fit. Good fit, weird fit.
If you had a bullpen with Chapman and Hendricks and Doval, who have been closers, Whitlock, who has closed out the wild card game, and has obviously flashed back end bullpen stuff, and Justin Slayton, who I think is the closer of the future, you have those five guys all on the team in the same bullpen. That'd be wild.
Fulmer too. You might even have Fulmer if he comes back. Not comes back, but if he's on the major league roster, unlikely, but
yeah. So, I mean, there's a bunch of different ways. I don't think we're done with the bullpen moves, and you'll certainly see some lower level, like minor league additions with maybe some upside that the Red Sox can tap into. But I mean, I think just to put a bow on this, it's clear the Red Sox targeted stuff. Red Sox Stats put a good video out there of Justin Willard, the Red Sox director of pitching, I believe is his title. Talking about stuff and how velocity can kind of alleviate your need to be consistent, just because if you're that dominant, you're that dominant. And he literally specified, and this is, I believe, at least a year ago, if not multiple, he talked about the Chapman fastball specifically. So clearly this is a guy that they like, a guy who has stuff that they like. Hopefully, you know, it works out for the Red Sox. If it doesn't, it's a one-year deal. So very little risk in any one-year deal, but to put a bow on it, you know, Red Sox sign Aroldis Chapman. This is definitely, what is this? Only the second move they've made at the big league level this offseason. So certainly the biggest domino to fall so far the offseason. Hopefully it will not be the biggest or the second biggest, maybe not even the third biggest that we see moving forward. Any last words, Sammy, before we check out of this?
Just if you're listening and you're wondering why have they not discussed the golden at-bat rule, next episode. We'll definitely get into it at some point.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that.
Good point. Yeah, we're definitely going to have to talk about the golden at-bat rule.
We'll talk about the golden at-bat rule.
We'll get Pat in the mix for the golden at-bat rule. But till next time, this is episode, 156 of Play Testy. I guess you could constitute this as an emergency podcast because we're going to release it at a different time. But it's an emergency podcast, but we'll have emergencier podcasts in the near future. But appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Go to YouTube on the WEI channel. You can find the Play Testy playlist there. Hit the thumbs up on all of our videos. You can find all of our episodes there. And as always, you can find us on the socials at Play Testy on both Twitter and Instagram. Appreciate you, Sammy, for jumping on with me. Joe, for producing. It's Gordo here for Play Testy episode 156. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.